Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with your hosts, Roy Richardson and Chuck Brink. Each episode brings discussions about technology topics in the news and how they affect you. If you're curious and want to know more, sit back, listen, and enjoy the show. All right, for those counting at home, this is episode 7. I have titled it, Look, My Medical Records on a Barcode. Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast and with my co-host, Chuck Brink. And if you want to reach out to me and say anything to me, I am on Twitter at @aroyrichardson, and Chuck is not on Twitter. So tweet me, and I'll tell him you said something.
That's right. Send all your tweets to Roy.
So, yeah. I was going to make a Twitter handle for this, but, you know, there's a lot of letters in One-Off Technology Podcast.
That is a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters, and they have like a 14-character limit.
I didn't know that.
They do. Yeah, it's a 14-character limit. So, like, that's why I was originally going to be the Roy Richardson.
Oh, too many characters.
Too many characters, yeah. But so I wound up being a Roy Richardson. So one day I do hope to be the Roy Richardson.
You just have to get Twitter convinced that they can handle more characters.
Yeah, in hindsight, I probably should have done my middle initial, but, you know, so everybody's like, what's the A stand for?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just sounds better.
A Roy Richardson.
That's right.
Yeah, because Roy W. Richardson, that's not really interesting.
No, it doesn't have the same ring.
It doesn't. I don't even know why, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, but such is the way of life. All right, so today's episode, we talk about electronic medical records, EHR, electronic health records, EMR, electronic medical record systems, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, depending on if you are Republican or Democrat. And, you know, the funny thing is, will insurance companies use my information against me?
Yes.
And what do hackers want with my medical health records, and what do hackers want to do with medical devices? So, there you go.
Do you really want to know what hackers want? I mean, that's kind of a loaded question, just in general.
Well, I actually always want to know what women want, but, you know, that's a different – that movie wasn't very good.
No, let's not go there.
No, let's not go there. But anyway, why do hackers want my medical records? And thank goodness I'm making it convenient for them by making my medical records electronic. So, in case you don't know it, as part of the Affordable Care Act, or we'll say Obamacare. I don't know why. It always makes me crazy when bills get these nicknames. You know, like SOX, Sarbox, you know, like Sarbanes-Oxley, and they shorten it down to a little something. So, but Obamacare is certainly a lot easier to say than the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, they have to shorten it up so that people can remember it and then hate it and then refer to it.
Yeah, and so, and the issue I have with the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is that it actually has benefited a lot of people, but then on the flip side, in some cases, has made health insurance more expensive for others. And so it's a complicated issue. It does have political leanings, and we're going to stay out of that. I don't even want to talk politics. So
yeah, I don't want to get into that piranha pit.
So whether you call it the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, or you hate it or you love it, we're going to skip that part of the debate, and we're strictly going to talk about the spinoff from that. So as part of that, before that even came into place, Congress passed a bill where they would give grants to doctors and doctors' offices and hospitals for converting their medical records into electronic health records or electronic medical records. Now, in case you don't know, what is an electronic medical record, electronic health record? It's basically a collection of patient records that have been put in a digital format. So let's say, for example, and this is probably a poor example, that your medical charts and images of your x-rays were all put in a Word document. At least then you'd have a document that you can look at on your computer. You could save it to a USB drive. You could carry it to another computer. If they had something that would open up, you know, Microsoft Word, then you could open the document there. And that's great. And the benefit, the long-term benefit, and that most people hopefully will one day see, but unfortunately, as so many doctors are stuck in the twilight zone, I'm sorry, in the past, and they don't want to move forward with electronic medical records, then they kind of hold up the process because here are the true benefits. So, in an ideal world, let's talk utopia. I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I have an illness, and you need to go see a specialist. And the specialist may send you to the hospital for a type of surgery. It would be great if my doctor can give the specialist access to my medical records and the hospital access to my medical records so that they have the complete history of what I have gone through while I was in a doctor's care, and skip a lot of the questions that are basic questions. So I skip that part and not have to be asked. I know that, a good specialist is going to ask a lot of questions to try to. It's like troubleshooting. If I'm troubleshooting a computer, well, a specialist hopefully is trying the same approach to troubleshoot people. Unfortunately, with people, there's an awful lot of wetware. With computers, water and electricity don't mix. So, there you go. You got that situation there. But and that would be the ideal world. And then after I see the specialist, he sends me to the hospital, and the hospital already has my records. And so that's that utopia that ultimately they were hoping to go for. And then also, if I want to change doctors, I can have a copy of my medical records, and I can give them to another doctor. Or if I move, I can give them to another doctor and I can start up with another practice and we don't have to repeat history. They have my history and they know, oh, by the way, he had a tetanus shot in 2007. Hey, it's probably time for another tetanus shot, that type of thing. You don't have to go through where a doctor says, well, when was the last time you had a tetanus shot? I don't know. So, I mean, that's why I see that the letter, that those are the benefits of electronic medical records.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that came about, as people now are moving across the country from country to country, there was a definite need for more portability and more access to these records. People aren't stationary like they used to be, 30, 40 years ago, where, you grew up in, town A and you maybe moved 15, 20 minutes away from that town and you were always just kind of in that general vicinity. Now it's nothing for people to, graduate high school, move across the country, live there for a few years, move to the other side of the country, live there for a little while. And, we're very mobile these days. And the data about us and our lives wasn't as mobile and wasn't keeping up with us, basically.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and the problem that's come about is, and there's many. I want to talk about the risk of electronic medical records. Now, first and foremost, the problem is that there is a lack of standardization in the electronic medical records field. So you literally have all these competing companies with their own standards, and if it needs to be converted from one system to another, they charge huge amounts of money in order to do that conversion because everybody jumped in with their own standard thinking, well, I'm going to make sure I'm the standard that everybody follows. And so, as patients, we pay the price for that. And as doctors, I'm not a doctor, but our doctors and hospital workers and nurses, they fight a battle because now, there's no consistency in the electronic medical records. And so, it gets to be insane, completely insane. Now, the other downside of risk is that these systems are hackable. Because they are computer systems, people are not putting the level of protections in place that they should be. You had that hospital in California that had ransomware that literally held all their medical records hostage. And because everything was digital, they could not open up any of their patient records, and they had to send patients to other hospitals because they didn't have access to records. And so, so it's getting crazier and crazier. And, why do hackers want our medical records? Because there's such a treasure trove of great information in our medical records. I mean, for even though insurance companies are supposed to be moving away from Social Security numbers, a lot of insurance companies are still holding on to Social Security numbers in doctors' offices and hospitals as an identifying number because there is no standardization to create a private number of some sort, a private record for you so that your Social Security number is not being used. It's not supposed to be so open, but that's never been enforced, and so therefore companies and insurance companies and doctors are still doing it.
Yeah, because I mean, when you think about most any record keeping system, what's one thing that you always have to have is a key critical component. It's a unique identifier
Everything has to have a
per
unique
record.
identifier. Right.
And the only general unique identifier you have for a person is a social security number. So I can easily see why it's so hard for these systems to move away from using that social security number. It's so readily available and it's right there and it's so easy to use it. And I know that, that social security number is never going to change for that person, like their address or their, phone number, their name, because people can get married and divorced and they can just randomly change their name by going to the government and saying, I don't like this name anymore. I want it to change. So nothing is really set in stone and guaranteed to be unique about that person except their social security number. So I get why it's so enticing to use that number to identify people's records or to tie people to their records, but man, it's so dangerous, especially now, like you say, that all these things are open, they're connected to the internet, to other hospitals, to other systems, and that leaves so many doors open for malfeasance and hackers to come in and try to gain access to that data because they know what's in there. It's social security numbers and addresses, oftentimes credit card information because you have services performed. What do you have to do? You have to pay for those services. So sure, you can keep my credit card on file and just pay for those, services on a monthly, charge. And oh, it's awful.
It gets very scary. I mean, so, back in 1996, the HIPAA was passed, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and that was supposed to establish the rules for how your records were supposed to be stored and who had access. And the attempt was to make restrictions on electronic records more stringent than they were for paper records. I mean, it's so easy to get access to paper records at a doctor's office sometimes, but yet, I've had a case where I've gone from one doctor to another, and my previous doctor did not want to release my records to me. And those records should belong to me. That's my history, my data. And, so by having electronic medical records, you get that portability. But again, if there's no standardization. And then the other part of that, and I mentioned it ago, is that the hackability, because hackers are targeting this. They can get your birthday, they can get key information that makes it possible to identify you. That, oh, well, you ever use the security question of what's your blood type?
Yeah,
Yeah.
no.
Well, I've had credit card applications ask me for blood type as a way to have an identifying information. And so, hey, they've got my medical records, they can find out what my blood type is. And so those kind of things scare me. And I think at the end of the day that we are, the problem is that we can lobby our Congress and our politicians and say we need better protections in the healthcare industry on our medical records. But unfortunately, most congressmen and senators have no clue, most politicians have no clue about information technology topics and how to handle things. And so they take an extreme approach that matches up with whatever their logic patterns are, and it may not match up with real world. And then the other side of that, you got to feel bad for doctors and nurses because now not only have they got to master the latest and the greatest diseases that come out and how to treat them, but they've also got to keep up with all these laws about how stringent it is to keep up with medical records for patients and not give information just out to everybody. Every time I go to the hospital now, or anytime I go to the doctor, I'm having to fill out a piece of paper that says it's okay to share my information with my next of kin, or if I don't fill that out and something should happen, in theory, they can't talk about my medical care options with my family. And so it gets to be a very squirrely situation. I have a child, I have two children now who are over the age of 18. I can't, without their permission, talk to a doctor about their medical history or anything. I'm not supposed to know anything that's going on with them. And that's a bad, could be a bad situation if they need medical treatment and I have, they can't ask me for it because I, we can't talk about it. or I can't, they can't tell me something I need to know to give them the right information, because I can't know about it if I haven't been given permission.
Yeah, it does present kind of a scary situation in that regard. But you know, if you look at it from a purely black and white situation, you know, they are an adult and they have their right to privacy, because not in all situations, even though, you know, a parent is supposed to be looking out for their best interest, you know, A, how do we know that you are the parent, and how do we know that you do have the best interest in mind for your child, adult or otherwise? So, you know, the doctors have to now, you know, be kind of like, you know, Switzerland in this regard and say, we can't take sides. We can't just assume that you are the parent and that you have the best interests of this person in mind.
No, I agree, but we could argue about emotional maturity as versus number of years you've been on this earth. But that's a different topic for another discussion. So, you know, back in 2011, there were 380 major data breaches involving, and only, you only had to report ones involved 500 patients or more. But so 380 major data breaches that involved at least 500 patients happened in 2011. So I don't have any statistics in the current range of numbers, but according to some statistics, at least 18 million individuals have been affected by their medical records being breached by hackers and just fraudulent, you know, fraudulent activity. And then, you know, the other part of that is, you know, nurses and doctors using your medical records for nefarious reasons. Now, 99.99% of the doctors and nurses in this world are amazing. They have gone to school for so long and they are trying so hard to provide you the best care possible. But as we all know, there's always a bad apple here and a bad apple there who has taken medical records and used them for bad purposes. Like, for example, you know, a lot of actors and actresses have a problem where people will take their medical records and release it out to the National Enquirer, and they're, oh, look, when so-and-so was 5 years old, they had polio, and this is why they've never been able to get that great role. You know, they haven't won an Oscar because they had polio when they were five, or, you know, or they had some crazy disease that they caught from this other actor, and, you know, that was a tabloid news. It's just crazy stuff like that. I mean, this is a crazy world we live in. You know, I want my medical records to be electronic so that they're portable. I want standardization. I want my documents to be protected in any way possible. I only want the absolute people that are authorized to look at my medical records to be able to see them. You know, it's all so many different things there, so many different steps in this whole process.
It sounds like you want to eat your cake and have it too,
I
that you want
do. Yeah,
everything.
I do. I want everything, and if it's awesome, I want two of everything.
I don't know that that's possible. But you
All
know,
right.
as you were talking, I was thinking, I wonder how many cases or how often it was that while medical records were paper, how often they were kind of quote hacked then, you know, either things were discarded in, you know, trash bins and not shredded, and people were, you know, digging through doctor's office dumpsters and that sort of thing to get records that way, and, you know, doing horrible things with people's records that, while it may have been on a smaller scale, maybe it was still happening. We just didn't hear about it as much, that it's become more sensationalized, or it can happen on a larger scale now. But I just wonder if this is really something new, or if this has been going on forever and we're just hearing more about it now.
I think it's that, but you know, I think that anything that makes good press is a top story, and whether it makes sense to that to be the top story or not. But you know, the other flip side to the paper trail is that because my medical record is now 150 pages long, in an emergency situation, they didn't manage to go to page 65 to find out I'm allergic to blah blah blah. Maybe I'm allergic to penicillin, or maybe I'm allergic to Tylenol for some reason. And because it wasn't electronic, they couldn't look at my paper records and find out that I broke my leg when I was 12 or something like that. And I hope in the advent of medical records they can do Control F and let's go see. Oh, let's go see when he has last tetanus shot. Control F. Oh, there it is. Yep, back 6 years ago he had a tetanus shot, and Control F. Oh, he broke his leg when he was 12 and things like that. So that's I think that's the benefit of electronic health records. But everything that's good, there's always going to be some down consequence, negative. There is no thing that's pure and perfect and good that's on this earth. There's always things that are 99.9% pure, but there's a 0.01, or 0.1 that's gonna get you,
So I guess as I look at this, what if in the future, the doctor's offices weren't the ones that kept your medical records? What if you were the medical record that the data was stored, in on a chip in your skin or, something like that, where when you left the office visit, the record was basically encoded into you and it left with you. That way there isn't some central repository for all of this data. It's on each individual person, so that at least if there was a breach or a hack, it's only on a person by person nature instead of, a million people at once or something like that.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. And then, there have actually been people that have been experimenting with chips underneath the skin. I'm sure people, and then there's also people who have been experimenting with Q codes so that, if something happens to you, hopefully the medical people can scan the Q code and pull up your medical record from somewhere. And of course, that all falls under to like the Book of Revelations and post-apocalyptic world where the number of the beast and everything, everybody freaks out and I got a barcode on me, woohoo, but
Because
yeah.
I have to think, what benefit are all of these records doing for hospitals and doctors' offices? Because in general, they're just sitting there. They're not actively being, analyzed and researched and, being put to use and having work done against them for the benefit of the greater good. It's not like they're taking a hospitals, million records and saying, so how many, white males between the ages of 20 and 40 have walked through this door between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. for heart attack or, stroke? It's not like they're doing these sorts of big data analytics on this data. So what do the hospitals and the doctor's offices need to do with these records? Why do they need to keep them anyway? To me, that's our data as individuals. So that data should walk with me when I leave the office.
I agree. Do you want a little like SD card slot installed underneath your skin?
Yes.
Yes.
No,
Or
that would be horrible.
a little RFID chip underneath your
Sure.
skin?
That's
Yeah.
getting better because I'm having like flashbacks to the horrible Jude Law movie of Existenz with the
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you should go watch that. It's incredibly awful and enlightening.
I was gonna say you just said it was horrible. You're definitely not the spokesperson to convince me to go see that movie. You have to see it. It's horrible.
It's awful in all the right ways, let's say that.
All right, horrible in all the right ways. I'm not really a bad movie fan.
You should still watch it.
Okay.
It
It presented good ideas in a bad way.
yes,
Okay.
yes.
All
How
right.
about that?
All right. I could buy that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Basically, it's exactly what we're talking about. People have ports in their skin, very Matrix-esque, where you can jack in different video games and other things to your body, and it's sort of going down this road where people have hardware implanted in them, and how that can go very seriously wrong very quickly.
So, what was the name of that movie?
Existenz.
Existence. Okay, because I'm going to try to go find that IMDb for it. And when I post the show notes, I will have a link to Existenz so that you too can go and find out how bad a movie it is.
Oh, there you go.
I'll also have links to, I always put links to things I've used for research or reference for the show so that you guys can go and look out there for yourselves and say, yes, he's a crackpot, but at least he had a source.
Oh my God, the horror of fact-checking.
I'm sorry. Now, see, I like to present facts and let people make the decisions on their own.
For the record, I never fact-check.
Okay, fair enough.
So, I guess to me it seems like a waste. We either need to empower the medical industry to do more with those records, get more benefit out of those records so that they can be finding, you know, cures for cancers or predict heart attacks better or something like that. And if they're not going to use that data for anything worthwhile, then don't store it. So, because storing it is where the problem of hacking starts to come in. It starts to become a juicy target because I know you're sitting on this gold mine and I want it.
I think she's like public key encryption. And so I have the private key to decrypt decrypt my medical records on a medical alert bracelet or something.
Sure, possibly.
Or if I de-chip that I have embedded under my skin. Of course, I'm not really a big fan of that. I'm not really a big fan of having anything inserted underneath my skin. I've made it this long with most of my original parts. I'd like to keep that way.
Do you not want to be on like the iPhone every 2 year upgrade plan?
Well, I could use some upgrades, but that's a whole different matter altogether. I really think I need more memory.
But don't we all? But I mean, is that what worries you about the augmentation of the body with like hardware, that there would be some sort of forced obsolescence about it, and like, oh well, it's time for my 3 month oil change, basically, and I gotta go in and, you know, get the bolts tightened and, you know, parts swapped out and that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, that's definitely part of it. Yeah, great. I've got the 8-track underneath my skin and everybody else has gone to MP3s, you know.
Right. Yeah, that sort of thing.
They're like, oh man, I've got a Betamax and everybody else went with VHS.
Yeah, you know, we start out communicating over like low frequency Bluetooth and then RFID, and then it switches to high frequency RFID, and well, now nobody can read my little chip, so I got to swap my chip, and
now I got so much information that they have to use my body chemical reactions in order to power the device, and I didn't get the upgrade.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Also, though, like in early experimentations with chips underneath skin, some people have had issues with the body rejecting them, trying to fight the device like a virus.
Yeah.
And had infections and that type of thing caused by it. So, you know, it's still in the early stages. But then on the flip side, I mean, they put RFID chips in dogs and cats now so that if you lose your dog, hopefully somebody will find it, take it to the animal shelter, and they'll read the chip, and they'll call you. I do wonder who keeps the master database for that, but I think it's very much same boat as electronic medical records. This office has its system. If you didn't know the dog came from that shelter, then they can't look it up.
Maybe we should do this for Alzheimer's patients.
So you can find them? Yeah.
Put a little RFID chip in the back of their neck, and then when they get lost, you just scan the chip and say, hey, I know where you're supposed to be. Let me just take you back there.
Yeah, so Ms. Martha, don't worry. I'm going to have the ambulance come and take you home. We know where you live now.
Exactly. How awesome would that be? No more lost adults.
No more lost adults. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Or even think of it for like Amber Alerts on kids. You know, if they had a little broadcasting signal that you could just, you know, bloop, flip it on, my kid's missing, pull up your phone, you know, look here on a map, that's where my kid is, go track him down, send the police, whatever, and then now your kid is returned. No more wondering, no more waiting for hours or days.
I know, they did something like this on an episode of iCarly.
Lojack like your kid.
Freddie, the character from iCarly, did not know it, but his mom couldn't find him, and so she had secretly had a GPS tracking system embedded in his head. And so he suddenly started hearing beeping because she had activated the system to try to find him because he was lost in Japan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. He had like this little red light beeping out of the top of his head.
So, I mean, there are a lot of...
I'll give you the episode number later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fact-checking.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you let me pontificate on things like this for a while, I do, you know, start going down probably some kind of grim, dark paths. But I think that's what happens in general with technology is people come up with ideas that sound on the surface really good, and they can be great things, but then they're not fully thought out of, ooh, how could somebody misuse this where, you know, a stalker gets the ID off your kid and now they can, you know, find out how, you know, the route they take to walk home from school and, you know, pick them up. Same thing with like your medical records. If they were embedded on a chip in you, I can find out that, hey, you're allergic to peanuts and, you know, smear you with peanut butter or something on your way home from school or from work or something, and then you go into anaphylactic shock on the way home or
I
something.
was
So,
killed by the Planters Peanut Man.
but I mean, it's, you know, it's silly, you know, weirdo things like that that, you know.
There is a field of study that looks into just that sort of thing, and whose job is to figure out what is the craziest thing somebody could do, and they're called ethicists.
Yes.
And their job is to literally take things and think them all the way out and try to come up with the reasons why it would be ethically wrong to do something. And then they, on the flip side, they're supposed to think about the greater good, and the greater good has to outweigh the bad before an ethicist says, yes, I think this is what we should do because it makes sense for human beings and it's going to move us forward as a species, or it's going to move us forward in the medical field. And yes, there's a risk of insanity from crazy people doing dumb things with RFID chips and taking your information and posting online. But on the flip side, the benefit to people is great, and therefore I have to support it. And so you have medical ethicists who go just through these dilemmas, and it's very interesting, and I wonder how do you set the compass for an ethicist?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not necessarily a moral compass per se. It is, but is somebody tasked with that equation, and how do you make sure that person isn't slanted toward one idea or another, that they legitimately have the best interest of their topic in mind as they go through the process? I mean, like for example, experiments with human DNA have been shunned for the most part. Cloning of humans has been shunned, and there was reason. Medical ethicists say this is not legal, and therefore the ethicists get the task of saying to the government, this is not the way to go. And the government has a task of protecting the people by not allowing things to happen like that. So, I mean, it's just very interesting to me. And then there was dead silence.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to respond, really.
I'm sorry I went off on a tangent. I was
Tangents
there.
are,
I was so close too.
it's all right.
Yeah. Sometimes the wheels on my bus don't go round and round.
Or they're square wheels, and they just click a little bit when they go
Dun,
around.
dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Yeah. So. But that, and then now we have the danger where of people hacking medical devices. Where, there was a New York Times article just a few months back about a gentleman who realized he worked in IT security for a living, had a medical emergency that required him to have a pacemaker put in, and then after the fact realizes how hackable his pacemaker is. And he actually experiments some on himself to see on a minor level what's the minimal he could do that would have an impact on his pacemaker.
Yeah, that's frightening.
It is, but I mean, if the microwave's going to mess with it, boy, howdy, if somebody actually has the intent to mess with the pacemaker or any of these types of devices that are being implanted into humans these days. Or, the IV machine beside you, it's doing saline at a certain level, and a hacker hacks into it and says, you know what? They need saline at this level. Or there's a drip with a medicine that's programmed to come at a specific time. you know what? You're going to get the full dose of that medicine now instead of over a 12-hour period like it was set. And so, therefore, the medical devices are going to put us in harm's way as well. There needs to be firewalls or at least aluminum foil wrapped around these things to keep them safe. You know, but they've got the devices on wireless networks in hospitals so they can report back so the nurse's station can look and say, okay, Mr. Johnson's heart rate is now at 99 beats per minute, and he's got a heart condition, and that's too high for him, or that's not high enough, and, you know, and then a hacker can go in there and hack up the equipment, and, you know, it's just, we're in a scary world where the things that benefit us are also the things that have potential to harm us.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of equipment now where, you know, doctors are sending people home with, you know, heart monitors that report back to the doctor's office or the hospital, you know, what the patient's like active heart rate is, so they can keep an eye on them during the day. And if they see something that's off, they can call them and say, hey, we need you to come back to the hospital. You know, something looks amiss. And, you know, that's, while it doesn't necessarily put the patient in danger, it still can cause inconvenience if a hacker could get in between that signal and start sending faulty data or turn it off. And it can, you know, cause, you know, interruption to somebody's day. It can cause extra increased cost because it could potentially damage the equipment or cause a test to have to be redone, you know, causing extra expense for the hospital, for the patient, the insurance companies. All of it serves to disrupt the system and cause costs to go up.
Well, those go up anyway, so.
Well, yes, but I mean, I just wonder if that's, you know, part of, you know, why costs are going up is because these things do happen and the insurance companies are trying to, you know, protect themselves from these, you know, added increased costs.
Yeah.
Because they realize that, you know, a medical record breach lawsuit could cost them, you know, millions of dollars. So to stay ahead of that curve, we need to raise prices by, you know, $100 a year per person to try and beef up the war chest, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing that's going to get even crazier is as medical records get hacked into more and more, as they finally get more and more electronic. Even my doctor took forever to finally go electronic medical records. I think he kind of reached the point where it was by law, and he chose like the cheapest system possible, and it doesn't upload to anybody else. It's literally his own system, and so he can't take my medical records and send them to another doctor.
Yeah, I don't know if
you know,
the doctor's office that I went to, if theirs was connected anywhere else outside of their office. I mean, I know they use like iPads in the office,
right?
But I don't know if it went anywhere else. And now the doctor's office that I'm using up here, you know, they seem to be less technologically advanced. You know, they actually still have, you know, actual PCs in each of the exam rooms that are all hardwired to like a central server.
Well, I mean, even that's an advance because I go to a doctor who has no medical device, no computers or really any electronic devices in any of his exam rooms. So I guess he goes back and transcribes his information after the fact, or he may still be doing old style where you read it, you know, read it off to a recorder and then some medical transcriptionist somewhere types it all in for you.
Yeah, one of my specialists was that way, that everything was still paper, and, you know, he would leave the room at the end of the visit and I could hear him out there taking like dictation notes of the visit. And I don't know if it was just like actively recording, making like the physical notes there, or if he was just speaking into it, making the recording to send off somewhere else for someone to type it out later. I don't know how exactly it worked, but yeah, that seems kind of archaic.
It does. It does. And some doctors even just got out of the medical field completely because they didn't want to fool with electronic medical records.
Yeah, that's
And
sad.
that's sad. That seems extreme. I mean, really, you can't adapt to the times. I'm like, if that's the kind of doctor they are, they probably don't get online and do a lot of medical research ahead of time. I will say the doctors I've visited, I've been very impressed. They seem to be up on the latest advances in medicine, and I'm always impressed by that. A doctor is always practicing. And so they need to keep on researching and learning about new things, and the studies come about. And so that's the kind of doctor I want, is a doctor who's keeping up with the latest technology so that he can stay, the best in his field that he possibly can be.
But I guess to me, on the flip side of that, while I do want them constantly researching and I want them up on the latest medical technology, I don't want them wasting their valuable time, their brain power, and everything else trying to understand, how do I use this, which I know iPads are not terribly hard to use, but how do I use this new, medical record software that's on an iPad, and how do I get my patient's records pulled up, and how do I submit a request for a patient through this, new medical record system? I don't want them wasting their valuable intellect and time trying to utilize some sort of records keeping system. I want them focusing all their time and attention on me, the patient, and my problems and how they can help make me better. So, I hope we're not doing our doctors a disservice by saying now not only do you have to be a medical expert, but you also have to be a part technologist as well. Because if you don't also have the technology side, well, then you're just not cut out for this field.
Okay, and so you hire a person like me or you, and we'll come in, we'll do the technology side for them, and we'll translate from techies to medicalese.
Sure, and I think that's what a lot of hospitals and doctors' offices have had to do and have done. I guess I just worry about in all the transition to medical, or not medical, to electronic records from paper records, if you have lost some of those people who were really, really good doctors, but
Right.
not good with the technology.
Yeah, and then you hope something didn't get lost in transcription.
Right.
And I think that's where we are. I think that's a situation we're having, and that if you're an IT person, or if you want to be an IT person, then the medical field is booming with IT jobs. Absolutely booming. If you have knowledge of medical terminology and you have a background in IT, you are guaranteed pretty close to having a job. And so, if you want to go to school and take you a year of med classes on pre-med, and then head on over with your IT degree to some hospital system, you will probably be able to find a job.
Yep.
And then, it's definitely an adventure. And I want people to shout out at me. Well, not shout at me. Please don't shout at me. But I would like very much to tell me what their opinion is. And feel free to communicate to me via Twitter at A. Roy Richardson. And let me know what your feelings are about electronic medical records. And have you had any experiences that didn't go well because of electronic medical records? Or have your records been compromised? These are the kind of things I'd like to know, and we in a future episode we're going to talk about this topic more, and interview some people and talk about what the effect of electronic medical records has been on them.
Sounds good.
I think that's a wrap today. I thank everybody for listening to our podcast. This is episode 7 for those counting at home, and I thank you so much for listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you, and have a great time out there, wherever it is you do.
Goodbye.
Bye. You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. Don't forget where you parked your car. Until next time, see you.